Continuing the series on an ordinary life, it's a 40-day journey from Lent to Easter, and we wanted to kind of walk us through as a body, as a family, as a church, and also us as individuals of this journey of really just seeking God and asking God to do something extraordinary in our life. And so we've been walking through a couple messages. This is the third one, and this one is an important one. I'll put it this way. If you could graph your first 18 years of life, if you could just put moments of your life on a graph, you know, like positive, negative, what you remember, I wonder how many memories that you would actually have. And generally what would happen is we would end up graphing the pivotal moments in our life. You heard that word pivot, right? Because we're using that a lot. All right, those pivotal moments. Those moments that kind of change things. Maybe sometimes it's just good things, like vacations. You know, we can remember vacation moments. We can remember, like, when you fell off of something and hurt yourself moments, graduation moments. But in the midst of that, okay, in the midst of, I don't know how many moments you remember, but in the midst of that, do you realize there's a lot of days that we don't remember? Or maybe it's just me. Like, I have a hard time remembering a ton of days in my childhood. Like, there are some, I can't remember my kindergarten teacher, let alone the days. But you ever notice how many, like, days we don't remember? Okay, it's just me. You guys have, like, memories that are... All right, let me change. So I grew up going to church. Like, from as early as I can remember, I have attended a church someplace. And a lot of times I've attended, back in those days, it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And I have heard a lot of sermons in those days. A lot of sermons. You know, you think three times a week, and then Sunday school. Do you remember Sunday school? Like, there was a lot of Sunday school class. So for some of you who don't understand Sunday school was before church or after church, and what you do as a kid, you go in, and you'd have probably some crackers. They didn't have the fancy snacks they had today, but, and then you'd watch a flannel board with, like, Jesus walking on water, and they'd move Jesus across the water, or the feeding of the 5,000, and you'd see the loaves and the fish, and you'd have a flannel. Okay, some of you have no idea what a flannel thing is, but some of you understand completely. But I don't remember a lot. I don't remember any of those Sunday school lessons, really. I don't. There's not one that's like, oh, yeah, I remember that one. I went to the youth group from 6th grade to 12th grade. And honestly, I loved our youth ministry, partly because that's where I met my wife, and that's where we, you know. I remember those things of staring at her across the room, our eyes meeting, and the hearts flying. Not really, it wasn't quite like that, but I remember, but I don't remember the lessons. I don't remember a whole lot that they taught. I went to Bible college, all right, 4 years of Bible college, and I spent a lot of money on Bible college, and I don't remember a lot of the lessons that I was taught. Let me just because I can't remember it does not make it not important. There are a lot of things that we don't remember that have incredible power in our life. Like, and I'll say this. A lot of times we celebrate the grand, you know, the only God stories. We celebrate, and we should celebrate that. Right? We celebrate the great things that God has done, like those moments that you're like, man, do you know what story I got to tell you? But our spiritual life is not built on the grand stories. It's built on the everyday. There was one message especially that I remember back in college. And honestly, it's only vague. But I remember two thoughts that this, I don't know who the speaker was, and I don't know a lot. I know what scripture he used because we'll be in it for a minute this morning. But I remember the two thoughts that have stuck out to me for the last 20-plus years. He talked about David and Goliath. And you all know the David and Goliath story, I would guess. And let me walk you through it anyway, just in case you don't. There's this 17, 18-year-old kid who wasn't even old enough to enlist in the army, and so his dad kept him back, and he kind of did the work around the farm while the rest of the brothers were out to battle. And he is called by his dad to say, hey, why don't you take in some snacks for the real men, you know, the men who can actually do something. Go bring them something and find out a report for me. And so he skips along. Okay, that's my addition. He's like, oh, happy. And he shows up, and there's two armies lined up across from each other. And on the one side is the Philistines, who have this Goliath, this Andre the Giant type, this this, like, he was trained. This is Braveheart times Braveheart and Gladiator combined, like, just a warrior, you know, someone who has lived the warrior lifestyle, someone who is undefeated. Obviously, he's still alive, so he's undefeated. Like, he is the MMA fighter that hasn't lost. Like, that, he's a knockout in the first round kind of guy. And here comes David coming in, skipping in, and you know how the story works is David's like, why aren't you guys doing something? I'll do something. He steps in. He takes five stones out of the brook, puts it in his pocket, takes out one, swings it around a little bit, throws it, hits Goliath in the forehead, bam, lands on his back. This meant the party might not know. He goes over, grabs the Goliath sword, takes off his head, and dances around the army for a little while, saying that we won. All right, it's an amazing story, right? It's got to be a high point of his life. In fact, if you read afterwards what happened, they have parades for him. They have songs written about him. And in our, if you would have fast forward to our world, they would have made a movie. You ever notice how that theme of David versus Goliath is in a lot of movies? A lot of sports movies. Like, that's the class. If you want to know the classic sports movie, it's a That's why that story is so well known. We know that, like, in Rudy, this is an older movie, Rudy, there's this kid, like, little short guy, shouldn't be on the Notre Dame. No, his brothers didn't believe in him, kind of like David. His dad didn't really believe in him, but he said, I can do this. So he goes, he lives in the training center, and he tries out. He has to do all this education. And eventually, we see in the movie that he comes in for the sack, last game of the year, and he's carried off the field. In fact, as you read the postscript, you're like, it says that they have not carried off anyone since Rudy. You ever notice how, like, movies? I mean, it's just the sports movie. Hoosiers, the team that shouldn't win, wins. And we think, man, isn't it great? Isn't it exciting to know that we have a God who loves those stories? Like, don't we all feel like we're ordinary? And yet there are times that God does extraordinary things in us and around us, and we're like, we're so unworthy. But there's another piece to that, because this is what the speaker said. He said, the second part of what he said was, be bold in the big things. Be bold, be courageous. When God asks you to step, step. When God asks you to do something big, go big. Be bold, be like, go after things, because God is a God who likes us to go after things. In fact, if you want to go back to who we're talking about over the last couple weeks, is Moses. If there's anyone who had some great only God stories, it's him. Like, he had multitude of, like, these high moments. Like, if he was graphing his life, his last 40 years of his life, he is like, man, I saw, like, 10 plagues. We walked out of Egypt. I saw the water part. I hit a rock and water came from it. The manna, you know, that was pretty cool. And then we actually had food for 40 years, walking through the desert with a million people. That's pretty amazing. You know, he had all these things on his graph paper, but that's not how God knew him. Like, that's not primarily how God told his story. Let me go back to David, because there's another part of the phrase that's critical in this, be bold in the big things, and it starts with this. Be faithful in the little things. At the baseline of what God is calling us to, this ordinary life, this like everyday life, he says, yeah, I have some extraordinary things that I can do, but that's not where spirituality is. That's not where I want you to live constantly. There is the everyday. There is the ordinary. There is just being faithful in those little things. Because let me go over to 1 Samuel 17. This is what David said as he's about ready to head into this place of facing Goliath. He talks to Saul and says, but David said to Saul, because Saul's like, yeah, we can't pick you. This is how David responds to the doubt of somebody else. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. Let me just change it a little bit for us. I have been faithful in watching. No one's watching the sheep but me, and I've been faithful at it. This is what he says. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, one sheep, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This, see the growth in this. If I can do that, if I've been faithful in these things, I've seen God show up in these small things when no one's watching, surely God will rescue me from the hand of the Philistines. Do you I believe that David, as he's walking through his life, was faithful in the ordinary. He was given this low man on the totem pole job. No one would notice if he would lose a couple sheep. He could make some excuse for that. But he said, he chose to be faithful. He chose to stay the course. He chose to do the everyday. He chose to show up every day and do what he was supposed to do time and time. And what happened was, as he was faithful here, God chose him over here. Do you follow me? He was faithful in the little things. And those little things prepared him for something greater. I would say this. If he was not faithful over here in the sheep pen, I'm not sure God could have used him on the battlefield. Let me change it so you can see where we're going a little bit this morning. You know, we have, if you've been in a wedding, you've gone to a wedding. Some of you are married, and you understand that on the graph of our marriages, the wedding day is pretty important. It's like a high point, right? I mean, it's like the white dress, the tuxedo. I mean, we remember. In fact, probably even if you rewind it a little bit, and maybe this is a side note for you single guys in here, there's something that happens before. It's the engagement. Can I just give you a little side advice? Make the engagement something special. Like, don't go ordinary. There's a few moments that are like critical in that relationship, like that are like memorable. Make your engagement story memorable. And that's not like, can I just encourage you? Don't go to a local sports game and do it there. Let's think creatively outside the box and make it special. But you kind of like, yes, I remember that, and I remember that. But I have done quite a few weddings. Some of them have been really good. Some have been good. Some have been okay. You know, they're all good, right? They're special moments. But if that's all there was, do you think 50 years later they would still be together? I've done a lot of great weddings where 50 years later things have not turned. 10 years later, 5 years later, it hasn't turned out so. A great wedding is important. A great story of engagement is pretty. You know, those are great things. Births are great stories. But I want to tell you, I believe that in order to get there, there's a lot of ordinary. There's a lot of everyday stuff. There's a lot of days in your marriage that you probably won't remember. There's a lot of conversations that have been had that you won't remember. There's a lot of dates that you may go on that you may not remember. But I'm telling you, the faithfulness in the ordinary, that not every marriage, the relationship is not built on the mountaintop experiences. And I'll even go a step further. I think a lot of our relationship is really built in the valley of discouragement. Like, a lot of that connection is in the valley of the ordinary. Like, there is something about being faithful day after day in a relationship, doing ordinary practices. I mean, there are pivotal moments, and then there are incremental moments. Pivotal moments are moments that are like the fireworks, everything changes. You change direction. Wedding day is a pivotal moment. Birth is a pivotal moment. There are times on a worship service, there are pivotal moments. But I think almost greater than a pivotal moment are incremental moments. That there are moments, and there are a whole lot of moments in our life that we can't see anything pivotal going on. In fact, it seems like the same, but there's something happening. So all those sermons that I have sat under, although I can't remember them, they still have incremental power in my life. All those youth groups that I went to, although I can't remember much that happened in them, I believe they have incremental power to do something in me in my life. Those ordinary, everyday habits, practices, have incredible power for what God wants to do in our life. And this is what I want to encourage you this morning. This is what I'm sharing with you this morning. Sometimes we pray for and work, and we pray for and wait for God to do the only God moment. What I want us to do is let God do the only God moment when he wants to do the only God moment, but let's be faithful Let's do ordinary, everyday practices that may not look like much at the time, but have incredible. Let's be faithful in the little so that God can do what he wants in the big. Let's continually to walk that course. See, what Moses is known for, really, by God. So God's looking down on Moses, and he's like, look at him. He's like, man, that's the guy who has the staff of God. That's not what he was known for. By God, he wasn't known for his parting of the Red Sea. What he was known for is over, I think it's in Numbers. Do we have it up there? But this is not true of my servant Moses. Listen to the phrase. He is faithful in all of my house. You know what that faithfulness means? Is every day he woke up and he did the correct practices, the habits that produced results. He kept doing what he was supposed to do. Day after, when it got hard, when he wanted to quit, when he saw nothing happening, he got frustrated. He was faithful. David was faithful. That's who God chooses to use to do extraordinary. In every area of our life, there is extraordinary power in ordinary practices. On Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, we went to this Dallas Brass. I don't know if some of you had kids playing in that, and we had someone playing, joining the Dallas Brass, and you watched these instrumentalists. They were all brass instruments, and their fingers and their this little, you know, if you've seen like instrumentalists, maybe some of you are guitar fans, and you just see their hands moving. It was beautiful. It was amazing. It was like, wow. They are so gifted. They are so good. But in my mind, as I'm watching them, I'm like, rewinding to my time that one of my kids brought a violin home. It didn't sound like, it sounded like, like, can we build a side house where you can practice? You sound great, honey, this is terrible. You understand? You're going back and forth like, and I don't know of an instrumentalist that doesn't start there. I'm Dallas Brass, they're good now, but when they started, they were probably awful, and their parents were like, I don't know if this is their gifting, but ordinary practices. You know how many hours they put in, and how many, like, and they, you understand that when you practice something, you don't see improvement sometimes. Sometimes it's the same mistakes over and over again. But over a long period of time, from like when they started to when they're playing the other night, there is power in that incremental change. There wasn't a pivotal moment. You ever start working out? And when you work out, you don't go. Generally, most of us go into the section where the other beginners are. You know, there's the beginner section, and then there's the free weight section. You know, and many of the free weight section people, you don't go in there and put all the 45s on and start doing. You don't get to the power lifting when you start. There are hours and hours of ordinary before you get there. There's just being faithful. They're showing up every day. You ever think about that financially? When you want to get someplace, if you're thinking that someday you'll win the lottery, that's your retirement plan. That listen, maybe God, but I'm not thinking so. Faithfulness in a dollar a day has more power than a lottery down the road. Faithfulness. You understand how that works, right? $1 a day. You don't see the account. Some of you understand this because you go check your retirement account every day. You're like, why isn't it growing? And you're like, this is not going anywhere. But faithfulness over time makes a difference. Can I just tell you that as spiritually, what God wants to do in our life, if we want extraordinary, we have to start with faithful. And some of us are not being very, we don't, our practices, our everyday, maybe the word is habits, are not the faithfulness, are not going to produce what God wants them to produce. We're not, let me put it this way, let me change it. We all have habits. We wake up, we live the same, there are practices. Your practices are either taking you towards something or away from something. You have practices in your life, you have habits in your life. You are doing the same, you brush your teeth the same way, and that will either take you to a good place or take you to the dentist. One of the two. You can't. Your practice is determinate. Like, we all have them. And now what I'm telling you is, if we can determine the practices, the habits that will produce the greatest results in our life, wouldn't we want to put them in now? Can I just tell young people in here, teenagers, of all people, of all the messages, you know, I told them this, I don't remember many of my messages. I mean, I remember like a couple of them, so I don't expect you to remember many of them. But if I had young people in here this morning, if you're in here and you're young, of all the messages, maybe not to remember, but to grab onto, it's this one, that what you choose now as a habit, as a practice, will, it may not show up next year, it may not show 10 years, it will have power in your life. If you can learn how to care for your finances now, in the little, in your allowance or whatever God has given you, if you can control it well, you can save and give and kind of control your spending, it has incredible power down the road. If you can set up the practice in your life, instead of playing Fortnite for 8 hours a day, you decide to read. If you choose to read 20 minutes a day over the course of your life, you know what power that has in your life? If you choose, let me just tell you the one I think, of all the ones that I hope and I pray and that you hear us talk about over and over, you probably get sick of us hearing to us talk about this practice. I'm going to use Moses over in Numbers, or Deuteronomy, or Exodus, one of those. Which one is it? Keep going. Right here. Exodus 33, verse 7 and 8. Okay, I think he did this often. This is a practice. This is not a one-time thing. This is a thing that it talks about him doing often. It says, now Moses used to take a tent. So he did, this is a practice, and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the Tent of Meeting. Can you tell what they did at the Tent of Meeting? They met with God. That's the whole concept of the Tent of Meeting. They set it up, they're like, we're going to meet God there. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the Tent of Meeting outside the camp. Verse 8, and whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance of the tents, watching Moses until he entered it. Like this practice of entering the presence of God. Like, can I just tell you, there is something powerful. In fact, I don't know of a greater practice than spending time committing to walking in this book, studying and reading this book. I don't know of a great, if I could tell people to do one thing that will have great power in their life, it would be take this book, fall in love with this book, read this book, because it, go to the Tent of Meeting and listen to what God has to say to you, because this book transforms. This is what he says in John 15. This is blunt. All right? This is Jesus saying, okay, let me just tell you, if you want to have an abundant life, if you want to have a full life, if you want to see God do extraordinary things in your life, this is the one thing you need to do. He says, abide in me. Remain in me. If you consistently, daily, take time in this book and say, do you understand that? I hear that, and I feel this. I'm reading the Old Testament right now. I'm in Leviticus. And there are times I'm like, first of all, the whole genealogy thing, it gets a little monotonous at times for me. You know, I'm listening to uncleanliness laws, and I'm like, let's get to the good stuff. You know, there is part, but I know in practice that if I keep committing to being in this book, even if I don't understand it all, even if I don't, like, even if there's not fire, like, we expect fireworks to go off every time we enter this book, right? We expect God to, like, speak in his thunderous voice, to speak down on us and say, this is what I want you to do. That's not, the practicing this is not that. Practice is, even when I don't feel it, even when I don't get anything out of it, even if I'm going to keep walking in this, this is what Jesus says, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. The way we remain is spending time in this book. But he also says, apart from me, you can do, do anybody know that end part? Nothing. An absolute statement. You know, so, again, I'm going to be blunt with you. So in leadership meetings and in other meetings that I'm in, we tend to start the meeting with this. What is God teaching you? What are you reading in Scripture right now? And there's a little bit of, I will sometimes push back when people say, well, I've been busy. I've been going. Because your practices determine what's going to happen, right? You're making a choice. Your practice is not to be in this book. And so you're choosing not to be fruitful. Does that make sense? Like, if God says this is the main, this is the most important thing, and we say we're too busy for the most important thing, the math doesn't add up to me. Like, if God says, the only way you can really have a full life is by spending time in this book and remaining in me. And we choose to try to fill our life by being busy, even though it's going to leave us empty. There's a disconnect there for me. Let's make the main thing the main thing. Let's abide. Let's remain. And it's incremental. You know, I have started doing my devotions, again, off and on. There's the journey when I was 12 years old, 13 years old. But I can I just tell you, over the course of my time in this book, God, I haven't had a whole lot of, like, times I remember what I read. Does it make sense? Like, I don't really, like, oh, yeah, back when I was 16, I read this verse and it changed my life. I don't have a lot of those. But what I have is 20 years of God incrementally changing me. Incremental has power. Incremental. Let me jump over this verse. This is over. Jesus says this one. We'll put it on the screen. Luke 16:10. Look at the order of this. Whoever can be trusted, or maybe the question is, whoever can be faithful with very little, whoever can be faithful in the small things, in the ordinary, in the everyday, will also be trusted with much. You know what God's rule, the way he does things is? If people are faithful in the little, he will give more. If we are good with the ordinary, if we show up with ordinary habits, like ordinary, we just keep moving in a direction toward God, he will give more. We want the more without the practice. Let me just give you one last thing. One other thing that's critical. I was reading this week. Actually, it came from a secular book, but it's always amazing to me when I'm reading a secular book that has, like, biblical wisdom in it. Like, do you ever do that? You're reading, like, they stole that from the Bible, and they're making money off it. That's not right. They didn't even, like, cite it, you know? Like, this is biblical stuff. And they were talking about habits. And he's like, great habits don't come from wanting to get to an end goal. Great habits come from identity. All right, so let me paint the picture real quick for you. He's saying, if your goal is to lose weight, we're going to fail. We're going to try to put practice into, but we're generally going to struggle at times because we're just trying to get to the end, and sometimes we don't get to the end. He says, if we do these ordinary practices out of identity, it changes everything. So you don't practice because you want to be good at violin. You practice because you're a violinist. Does that kind of make sense? You don't go into training for a marathon because of whatever. You do it because you're a runner. The identity changes things. So let me just put it a different. If our identity is in being a child of God, if our identity is like we get to walk into the throne room of God, if our identity is in Ephesians chapter 1 and that God has given us everything we need for life, if our identity is in him, wouldn't it make sense that our practices and what we do drive us in that direction? That our, again, this, we'll spend some more time on this because I know hitting it quick will not make sense to you a lot. But our identity forms our habits, and our habits form our identity. Like, who we are will determine what we do, and what we do will form who we are, which is a beautiful concept. And so here's where we're landing this morning. I'll do a couple quotes for me from Tim Tebow, because obviously he's, you know, Tim Tebow. He's like, you ever see the commercials on him or whatever? Let's see if I can find it here. He says, sometimes, I'm gonna kind of put it in my own words. Sometimes we don't believe God for the big things, and we're definitely not faithful in the little things. That's basically, I'll send it out on Facebook when I find it. It's on there someplace. But he's like, if we could just believe God in the big things and just think of those little things have power. So here's the question. What little things, what ordinary practices need to change in your life in order to produce great results? Let's pray together as the worship team comes up. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for what you do in us. And God, I just pray that we'll be faithful. We will pursue you. We will want to root ourselves in you. I just pray, God, that in all the little things, that we'll remain faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.